Están ahí, Dusty Show. What the hell were we thinking?
Welcome to the Anna and Dusty Show.
The podcast you've been waiting for all
waiting
week.
Waiting for? What the hell were we thinking?
We never know what the hell we're thinking.
We never know.
Can't ever tell.
No, we're not prepared in any way, shape, or form. I hope none of you were like looking forward to us being prepared because I think they should know by now. We're never prepared.
I think we made a promise last week. We're going to talk about the old Notre Dame event, and I'm excited about it.
Ah, that was such a good day. So, yeah, so for our one-year anniversary, I took little Dusty over here to Notre Dame.
Little Dusty over here got his final first trip to a game inside Notre Dame Stadium.
Yeah. That was awesome.
One of the greatest days of my life. And just rewind a bit because I'm from Oklahoma. And every time someone asks me where I'm from, the immediate follow-up question is, who's your football team?
Of course, because you're from the South.
And my answer is Notre Dame. And everyone looks at me like, how the hell did you become a Notre Dame
Why?
Fan?
Yeah. Why?
And I bashfully respond.
Bashfully?
I'm a little bit bashful about it. I saw the movie Rudy when I was in the third grade. That's how old I am. Right. So I saw that movie and I was like, oh my God, that's my goal. I want to play football at Notre Dame. I want to be that guy, except better because he only played one game. I want to play every game at Notre Dame. And so I saw that and I fell in love with the University of Notre Dame. And politics aside, religion aside, none of that mattered.
Yeah, to because Dusty's not Catholic at all.
No, I'm like the furthest thing from Catholic.
I know, and me being somebody who was raised Catholic, it's really weird. And the fact that I disconnected myself from that life and then you get me into Notre Dame and I'm like, oh, crap.
So
everything I've learned and everything I just educated myself with, now it's back in my life. It's like a slap in the face.
All right, so before we get into the experience that we had at Notre Dame, let's talk about something that I thought was really cool when we were there, was when we were touring the campus last day following the football game, following probably the second greatest day of my life. We toured the campus, we stopped at the grotto, and if you've never seen the grotto is just this area of prayer lit up with candles. It's a cave lit year-round. People go there and they pray, and you light a candle and you say a prayer. And me being the person that I am and not having a lot of religious feelings, I just kind of sat back and I allowed Anna, because of her Catholic upbringing, she felt the need to approach the cave and the grotto, and
I made a prayer.
She made her prayer, and watching her do that, even though I know that to me it's not the same thing, but at the same time, I still have that hope inside.
Like that somebody else can save me.
That there is that greater power. There is a greater being. And I lit a candle, and I lit a candle for...
Yeah, you did light a candle, yeah.
For the people that I love in this world, the people that I've lost in this world, and the hope that there is something better out there. And so that experience in itself was one of the best experiences I had on that campus. But the experience that we're about to talk about is something that is written about in books, because that it just doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't happen.
Everything that's Murphy's Law like went into full effect. It was like the best event of Murphy's Law ever.
I wanted Anna to pinch me like 15 times.
I did pinch you. I pinched you on the way home too.
Because
like that just happened?
I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it.
Yeah.
So let's start with the beginning.
Okay. So it was a year after we got married. And we have been pregnant at this time for about, what, 4 months? Yeah. We were 4 months pregnant. We had just found out we were having a boy. And I decided that the best gift I could give my husband was a honeymoon because we never got to have one.
No.
So, yes, I was pregnant. And, yes, it wasn't like the honeymoon of our dreams, but...
Oh, no, it was definitely the honeymoon of my dreams.
Yeah, it did turn out to be the honeymoon of our dreams. We ended up going to Notre Dame. We drove all the way up to Chicago.
From Florida.
Actually, Indianapolis. From Florida. And we stayed with a really good friend of ours. He is amazing for letting us stay at his house, by the way. He let us stay at his house, and the next day, none of us had tickets. We were just kind of, like, wandering around. So we went into this bar.
No, we had tickets. We had tickets.
Well, you're right. You're right.
Our friend didn't have tickets.
You're right. We had tickets. Our friend did not have a ticket, but we went from bar to bar kind of just, like, trying to get pre-gamed.
Well, so here's the deal. When you go to a Notre Dame football game, when you're in South Bend on a day of a home game, there is nowhere to park.
And no, pretty much there wasn't.
The city is going to shut down. And, like, you got to park outside the city and then walk into the city to get to one of these football games. And we were already in the city. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. We got up. It was snowing outside.
It's beautiful.
It was, oh, God, yeah, the first snow we'd seen in years.
Yeah.
And we pull up and trying to find a place to park, and we stop at this place called Mulligan's.
Yeah.
And the guy wants to charge us $20 to park, and I was like, whatever, I don't care. It's close enough to the stadium.
Yeah. It was totally worth it at that time.
So we go into Mulligan's, and...
We meet the manager who was going out of his way to, like, give a show. I don't remember. What was he doing? He was doing something with beer bottles or beer cans.
Now, this dude, Pat Mulligan, I'll never forget his name. I'll never forget his face.
I'm glad you remember.
And I will never forget anything about that weekend.
What was he doing?
That was one of the greatest times of my life. Hands down, I'll never forget that because... I had so much appreciation for everyone that gave me all those opportunities that day. But Pat Mulligan, this big guy who owns
the bar that we
Mulligan's
were at.
Right outside Notre Dame Stadium. He's walking around and he's a big guy. He's taking these 16-ounce Miller cans and sticking them to his face. And he's pouring drinks out of them.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember that.
He sticks one to his forehead and he pours a drink out of it. If we can find the clips, we'll definitely put them on our fucking website.
Yeah, if I can find the clips.
It's awesome.
It's definitely on one of our Facebooks. So
we have the video somewhere that will definitely show up on the website. But this guy, Pat Mulligan, awesome guy. I cannot talk enough about how badass that guy is. So
he came around and he introduced himself to us. And right at the time that he was introducing himself, it was Brandon that walked in. And Brandon is one of the previous...
No. It was before that. We were about to leave.
No,
it was two hours before the game.
Yeah, but we already met the owner.
Yeah, we met the owner. But 2 hours before the game, we wanted to leave. We were ready to go to the stadium.
Before that, though, we met Brandon.
No?
Oh, okay. This is how well I remember it. Okay. Go.
I remember it really well because...
I'm sure you do. You remember every detail.
I should have wrote a book about it because it was that one of the greatest experiences of my life. So, we're about to leave. We're about to walk out. And the owner stops us and he's like, hey, where are you guys going? We're like, oh, we're going to go over the game. We're going to make sure we get on our seats early enough. We want to see the pregame show, yada, yada, yada. And he's like, no.
You're not clothed enough.
You don't have
enough.
And
he knew I was pregnant, too. And he was like, no, you definitely don't have enough clothes on. Mind you, we had, like, leggings, like, badass socks on, boots, sweaters, jackets. And he was like, that's not enough. You have no idea. You're like, you're right. We definitely did not have any idea.
Yeah.
So he took us to the basement and... He went through the lost and found, and he just gave us jackets and gloves and scarves, and we wore so many layers. It was embarrassing.
We start talking to this guy, And this guy turns out to be, like, one of the coolest guys I've ever met.
Ever.
And
he introduces to Brandon.
He introduces to Brandon Hoyt, who hooked us up. Well, I'll get on to that, because Brandon Hoyt is my new, like, one of my top five people that I've ever met in my life.
If you had T-Mobile, would it be in your top five?
Oh, totally.
Totally.
I mean, okay. Trying to call Brandon every day. He didn't give us his number. He gave us his girlfriend's number.
Smart guy.
But he was like, Pat was like, yeah, hey, I got Golden Tate's number right here. We're going to give him a phone call real quick. Tell him, like, how much we love him. Hey, you want to call Joe Montana?
Oh, yeah, that's right. We called Golden Tate that night. Oh, my God. I left a voicemail.
You left a voicemail for Golden Tate.
I left Golden Tate a voicemail that night.
I'm pretty sure I left a voicemail for Joe Montana.
Oh, my God. How embarrassing.
Anyway, we had a few more drinks, and then we walked over to the game with Pat.
You and the other guy had a few more drinks. I was still pregnant and very much sober.
But... anyway, the snow's pouring down. It couldn't be a more beautiful day for a football game. Honestly,
I'm sure everybody there was like, oh, this is horrible. We just enjoyed the shit out of it. But you forget the fact that you mentioned to Brandon what you do for a living, and that was why he gave you the passes. And he's like,
oh,
hey,
yeah. Oh, God, I jumped
meet
over
us,
all this.
Yeah,
all
right, so, you meet us in the press box, and we'll let you out on the field.
So we're talking to Brandon. Or we're talking
Brandon
to,
Hoyt.
We're talking to Pat. We're talking to Pat, and this guy... comes walking in. Tall guy, Notre Dame hat, genuine smile, and Pat goes, holy shit, Brandon Hoyt. And what do? I fucking tuck my tail and I go to the bathroom.
Yeah, you ran away.
I ran away because
you whispered to me before you went in, like, get him. Just somehow get him to talk to us.
That boy,
like, I got you, baby.
Dude. Boy was a co-captain with Brady Quinn.
Yeah, I asked him. I was like, so what did you do for Notre Dame? And he was like, oh, you know, this and that. And I was like, yeah, that's cool.
One of the best Notre Dame linebackers we ever had. And I was like, oh my God. Because I love Notre Dame so much. And
That was when you were done. You froze up at that point, and you were done for the day. Like, that entire day, you were done. You froze up at that moment, and we made you take pictures with him, and he congratulated you for everything you've done.
let's be clear. I've met celebrities before. I met Garth Brooks. Didn't act like a crazy person. Wasn't all that interested. I like Garth Brooks. I just wasn't all that interested. Dennis Byrd. Great football player. Yeah. I met him when I was in the third grade. I didn't even know what he was all about. So, like, I've met a few, like, big-time athletes. But meeting Brandon Hoyt and the way he acted toward me...
He was so friendly.
Oh, my God. Huge deal.
Yeah, it was a huge deal.
I'll never live that down.
No, you won't, because you did not speak. From that moment until we got into the car 2 days later to drive home, you did not speak. And I can personally sit here and say that I've never seen Dusty not speak for 2 days. Just to be like, slap me right now and tell me this is real life and all this happened.
I had the stupidest grin on my face. So, Brandon...
So, we meet Brandon Hoyt. We have 20 pounds of clothes on us because the owner of Mulligan's made us wear these clothes. Because he felt bad for me, and he was like, no, you have to wear this, and this is this. And I was like, oh, my God. And then he kept passing beer over to us on our way down there, and I was like, dude, I just told you I'm pregnant. He's like, oh, well, it won't do any damage to the baby. Just pass the beer on. I was like, oh, my God.
So, yeah.
We get to the game. We finally sit in our seats, and we're like, wait a minute. Brandon said that we can meet him in the press suite. I mean, get passes. So we leave our seats. We'll leave the people that we went with. And we go inside the press box. And there's Brandon Hoyt waiting for us. And he gave us not only the press passes, but the field passes. They're like, yeah, we're good to go. We're going home. And they left. So we walked our happy butts downstairs onto the field with our field of passes, and there we were. And I had my camera on me, and I was just sitting there taking pictures of Brian Kelly's butt up close because it's so delicious.
Yeah, my wife's got a little bit of a attachment to Brian Kelly.
She's amazing. He's the best coach ever. We already went over this. But so Dusty's on the field, and at this point, Dusty is, like, literally has not spoken a word in the past hour. He has not made a sound in the past hour.
Just in the zone, just, like, sucked into this game.
I think it's their last senior game at Notre Dame. So what were they throwing at us? Marshmallows?
Yeah, marshmallows. So she'll throw marshmallows down on the field. And, like, oh, God. It's indescribable. Like, you're down there. You feel like you're part of the team. Like, you want to go.
I was. For a while there, I was telling the coaches, like, who to throw in. And I had this camera, like, this professional camera out. And they're all like, what are you doing? Like, who are you? And I'm like, no, I'm totally here just for support. But you need to put him in, and you need to put him in. They're like, yeah. So it was a horrible idea on Brendan Hoyt's part because I, like, made myself fit in at that time to where I was part of the coaching staff.
But it was great. We got to stand up in there. We got to get close. We had to keep our distance a little bit. I almost got run over by the TV truck.
I do remember that. The TV truck guys were like, can you move that guy? And I was like, oh, yeah. He's just really excited. They're like, yeah, we get that a lot.
Yeah. Just move that guy because we will run him over. Yeah. Because TV is more important than people's lives. But, oh, my God.
So at the end of the game, so, here's the best part about it.
Which best part? Because all of it, to me, is the best part about it.
So, it starts snowing. So, mind you, it was not snowing that entire time. It was cold as hell. It was, like, in the negatives. But it didn't start snowing until right at the end when Notre Dame won. And not only did Notre Dame win.
The heavy snow just started pouring in. Great heavy snow.
And the band went out, and the band was playing. We have videos of all of this. But so at the end of every game, Notre Dame goes out and sings.
We gather in the student corner, and we sing the alma mater. I say we. I'm not one of them. I wish I was.
But you were that day because you went out there, but it was totally arm in arm with all of them.
Me and Terry and Folston.
Oh, my God. Just, you know the name. That's so adorable.
God, I do. Terry Folston's going to run for a lot of fucking yards this year. You stand by.
I am standing by.
I fucking love Terry and Folston. So, out there on the field, arm in arm with a team on the field, something you only see on TV.
Yeah, and no, definitely.
God, that was like, I woke up the next day and I was like, well, I did it.
Well, before we get to the next day, I do remember you coming back after the alma mater, and you're like, this day could not get any better. And I pointed in front of us, and there was Alex Flanagan,
who is
Dusty's female crush. Other than Taylor Swift, Alex Flanagan was definitely Dusty's crush. And I was like, well, there's Alex Flanagan. She used to be an NCAA commentator. Now she works for the NFL.
She was at the time. That was the last time.
That
she
was her last report, right?
It was the last time she was an NCAA commentator.
We made a lot of history. So. We did a lot of history that day. But anyway, so I walked up to her and I was like, hey, my husband is obsessed with you. He wants to take a picture. She's like, let me get done with the interviews and y'all come back up. I was like, okay. So she goes and does her interviews, and this is where I'm meeting Brian Kelly, and I'm meeting this player and that player. I'm just having the time of my life.
Meanwhile, I'm taking all these creeper photos. Selfies. Yeah. she's on the camera and I'm standing off the side snapping pictures like, hey, yeah, look at me and Alex Flanagan. And then finally,
she walks back up like she's ready to wrap up her stuff. And I look at her and I was like, you promised that you would take a picture with my husband. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, absolutely. He's almost gave out your job. So, yes, because of your job, absolutely, I will take a picture with him. So she stood there and they took a picture and he put it on his Instagram and he put it on his Facebook and it went everywhere. But he was so shy. You were like, no. No, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And I was like, yes, you fucking are. You're going to take a picture with Alex Flanagan right now. You're like, no, she doesn't want to. I was like, who gives a crap if she wants to or not? You got your chance right now.
So good.
So hot.
Watched her on TV for years. I just.
You're welcome.
Alex Flanagan.
Still married to you. I made that happen.
Thank you.
Totally forget about the little people, don't you? The second you get bit in evil, you're alive.
Never forget about little people. Never been a big deal in my life at all. If anything, that was your opportunity to like jump out there and be a big deal. And you embraced it. You're like, oh, I belong here. Me, like, I wander around the sidelines and I'm like creeping, like, I'm probably not supposed to be here. I better not do anything stupid so they get rid of me. And you're like, yeah, bitch, I own this shit.
Yeah.
I am college football. Hey, get this guy. Hey, what are you doing? 82 sucks his ass. Get number 29 in.
I do believe I told a few players to move out of my way just so I could take actual photos.
And you know what's funny? Because you said it that way, they probably did.
They did. They actually moved out of the way. Yeah. They were like, oh, I'm so sorry. And even the camera guys who were like on the stands were like, oh, I'm sorry. Am I in your way? And I had to tell multiple people, like, I'm not the professional photographer here. They're all around, but I wasn't it. They were like, oh, no. We're so sorry for being your way. You go ahead. And that's when I met Brian.
No, but that's awesome.
Kelly. Yeah.
Brian's security leaving the stadium, though. Like, they are on him. Like,
yeah, they were.
The minute the game's over, right by his side, nothing's going to happen to that dude.
But this is the same security guys that I flirted with, so I literally could have had that man right then and there.
Right there. 50-yard line. The last time there was turf on the Notre Dame stadium, he could have just taken you to Pound Town.
Ew, that's not what I meant.
You said you literally could have had him.
That's not what I meant.
So,
anyway.
All right, no, let's talk about first times, last times. That was the last time Notre Dame played a home game on actual turf.
Yeah. Senior year.
Everything from now on is artificial turf in that stadium.
It was a big deal.
It's a huge deal. That was the last time Alex
It was senior day.
Alex Flanagan's last time.
That was the last Alex Flanagan in NCAA. And you got not just a picture with her. I have videos of you two together.
Yep.
That's so awesome. Like, we were impacted by history. We made history a little bit.
Yep.
And the next day, we drove home. And Dusty still hadn't spoken. And I was like, okay, I'm going to need you to say a word or two. And you're like,
I was done. I was
no,
lost.
You were.
I had no words left. I was just, no.
You did not make a sound for like the first 4 hours. And after that, I was like, okay, I need you to make any sound whatsoever. Like, did I do good? Did I do bad? I need some recognition. And all you said was, I'm so happy right now.
Yeah,
did
yeah,
it all
yeah.
happen?
That's what it
did
was.
It all yeah. really happen? I was like, yes.
Yeah.
High five, it all really
That's what
freaking
it was.
Happened.
Hey, text Hoyt's girlfriend. Let her know that like we had a fucking great time.
We
Holy
did.
Holy shit.
And this field pass is amazing.
You know
amazing.
About that?
How do you know about that?
You know what happened?
What happened?
One of them boys got drafted by the Dallas Cowboys in the first round.
Who?
Zach
Martin? Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we all knew Zach Martin was going to get drafted. I mean, come on. The guy is amazing, and he's done a badass job
what?
This year.
Everyone thought Jerry was going to take Tebow.
Well, yeah,
line.
That's because everybody thought that Jerry was actually going to have a word in it. Instead, his son had a word in it.
And Steven made a great decision.
He made a lot of great decisions. Isn't it like a lot of hopes for the Cowboys? I mean, I think there is.
Oh, hell yeah.
We can stop blaming the old man and we can start building a team.
And we can stop blaming Jerry and start blaming Steven. And
well, you know what, though? I think the only issue they had so far was they let Murray go. And that son of a bitch went to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Out of all the places you could go, that's where you go.
We got Darren.
Our biggest gosh darn rival.
Whoa. Darren McFadden, Run DMC, who has never been offered a line since he has been in the NFL. That boy can run. Joseph Randall, that boy can run.
Randall is still on our roster.
We are going to tear some shit up with our offensive line.
I'm just talking about that little Murray boy who ended up going with the freaking Eagles. That is fucked up.
Well, hell yeah. No, you don't jump the Cowboys for the Eagles. What the fuck is that?
No, I mean, I honestly, personally, would have appreciated more if he went to the Giants or the Redskins.
Oh, God.
For that matter. Oh. But the fact that he went to the Eagles just not, makes not even the me Giants or the Redskins. More. What, does he, you think he has a chance at the Eagles?
Ugh.
He doesn't have a goddamn chance.
Get out of our division. Just go away. Gross.
No, obviously his point was to be in our division.
Good. I hope Sean Lee shows up and
oh no,
fucks
Sean Lee is
up.
Healthy and he is in. I am so freaking excited for Sean Lee to take Murray down.
Here's my goal. Sean Lee shows up, Hardy comes in there, and
Hardy?
Sean Lee and Hardy come out and just fucking destroy
him. Why are you
him.
Hardy? We're talking about Murray.
No, I'm talking about Hardy, our pickup. We just got him. So,
okay, well,
so
what
Sean,
about
Sean Lee,
Murray?
Sean Lee goes up top, hits Murray in the face, Hardy comes in down below,
yeah.
And they just split
yeah,
him in
yeah,
half.
Yeah. I just got puddle panties over there.
Just break him away.
Totally. That is yeah. totally going
to
happen.
Yeah. Thanks to Marco Murray for being a team player.
And allowing yourself to the poorest fucking team. Like, what made you think that was a good idea?
Yep. Enjoy that ring pop.
Yep. Because that's all you got. The rest of us will enjoy our real rings. That is so sad. I just can't believe that out of animosity, you actually went to the Eagles.
I don't think it's animosity. I'm sure the Eagles offered
no,
them a great
I'm
deal.
I'm sure they offered them a lot of money.
It's football. I mean, football is ridiculous.
No, I know. You're acting like I don't fucking know. No. I know. I understand. I just think it's fucked up that Murray left the Cowboys for more money.
I mean,
and you're not sitting here talking shit about Murray. You're sitting here talking shit about Dez Bryant, who's still with the Cowboys.
I am talking shit about Dez Bryant because he needs to sign that motherfucking contract.
Bitch, he did. Now talk shit about Dez Murray. Talk shit about Murray because that son of a bitch left us the second he found out that we were taking Dez as a franchise player. Dez or fucking Murray was like, yeah, who else wants to take me?
It's a money game. It's
of course
always,
it's a money game. I've been telling you this entire time.
I know it's a money game. Look, I get it. It is a money game. You're getting
so frustrating talking to you.
You're getting paid to destroy your life. Literally. Like, you're getting paid.
You're getting paid to do what the fuck you love, which is football.
All right, but the love of football means you are willing
yes.
to put your life
yes.
on the line,
your body.
And your
yes.
head on the line, your body on the line, and
yes.
get your head crushed.
Yes.
By superhuman people.
Yes.
The only people that make it in the NFL are superhuman.
You're right.
You don't get there if you're a half-ass athlete.
You're right.
You get there because you are 300 pounds of muscle, speed, and strength, and you are out there to fuck people up.
You're right.
I think my point is, we're talking about modern-day gladiators here who day in and day out are putting their lives on the line and getting out there and killing themselves for our entertainment. So I'm not hating the fact that Murray left for the money because he's not even able to play football forever. He's going to need that money. So I get it. I was upset when DeMarcus Ware left, but I get it. They got to make that money because it doesn't last forever. And you know, it just sucks to watch a good player go. But at the same time, I am hating the fact that he went to the Eagles. I think that's a load of bullshit. And I think on that note, we're going to go ahead and wrap things up. So, again, thanks for listening to us. Find us on Twitter at WTHWWT. And you can find us on Facebook, WTH Where Are We Thinking. Go to our website, www.wthwhereawethinking.com. Check us out. Tell your friends. And keep listening.